Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times. Good word from the Psalms there this morning, but I'm going to focus today on the gospel reading. It's good to see many of you. Some of you, I think I'm meeting for the very first time. Hello, everybody. God bless you. It's great to be with you. I'm Father Jerry, my first time with a congregation in front of me. So that's very nice to see. So just a little snippet about me. You've probably read a little bit, but I served as a military chaplain in the United States Air Force for 21 years and have only just recently retired. And I was thinking back on my time in the military, and my very first deployment was to Saudi Arabia, a place called Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia. And at that time, I was a young captain, and I served as the chaplain for the security forces. Those of you in the Army would have called them the military police, the MPs. But the security forces were informally and affectionately called the defenders. So I would often go visit them as they armed up. They'd get their safety briefing for the day and their orders, and then they would disperse to different parts of the base. And then at various times, I would climb into a pickup and drive around to different posts, guard towers, little checkpoints within this vast, sprawling base on Prince Sultan. And I would visit with many of these defenders. And they would tell me stories about their families back home, their wives and their husbands, their boyfriends, girlfriends, their children, their mothers, their fathers, their brothers and sisters, their friends, people they missed. Sometimes they would show me photos of their loved one, and I get to see them. This is pre-cell phone days, right? So this is before cell phones, when you could just look on there. And you had to wait in line to make a phone call, and you only got 15 minutes for a phone call. But they would talk about those things, and sometimes they would be sad. Sometimes they would share their struggles with me. And I would pray with them and always thank them for their sacrificial service on behalf of our country. Well, in our gospel today, we hear of Luke tell us that Jesus commissions the disciples for their ministry. They have a mission to do, just as my defenders had a mission to do. And there can be hardship in any mission. And I want to talk about that for a little bit. But first, let me set the stage. In Luke's story of the resurrection, it starts with the women going to the tomb and encountering angels, and they're startled and amazed. And then Peter goes to the tomb. And then we have that wonderful story of Cleopas and his companion meeting Jesus on the road. And Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures, and he is known to them in the breaking of the bread. That was our collect this morning, right? And there are similarities with that story with our story today. Eating, opening minds open to understand the scriptures. All these things are happening. So Cleopas and his companion run back to Jerusalem after they've recognized Jesus, and they barge in on the disciples and said, "We've seen the Lord." And they said, "We know. We've heard the same thing." And he's appeared to Peter. When suddenly, in our story, Jesus appears in their midst. Doesn't say how he appeared, but that in fact he appeared. And Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." And their response, their reaction is, they're terrified. Terrified. Now, they've been hearing he's risen, all these things are happening, and yet still they're terrified. So let me just hit the pause button there for a moment. And I want you to think of a good friend who has died. Or maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a member of your family who has died. One of my best friends when I was young, as a teenager and in my early 20s, was a guy named Mike. Mike lived in my hometown. He was a good friend of mine. He was the best man at our wedding 38 years ago, a long time ago. So he was the best man at our wedding. And I didn't always see Mike, but whenever I went back home, I would see him. And I kind of lost track of him for a while. But in later years, here about 7, 8 years ago, when I was taking some Anglican studies, he was in the same town where I was doing my studies, where the seminary was. And I stayed at his place, and we had dinner together, and it was just glorious. And it was great to see my old friend Mike. It was so wonderful. But here, about 2 years ago, my good friend Mike died of a heart attack, and I lost him. Now think for yourself. What about your friend, your loved one, that person you have in mind? Now imagine that that person who has died now appears in the room. I know if Mike suddenly appeared in the room, my reaction would be to freak out. That's what I would do. I would be freaking out if Mike suddenly walked in the room. What is going on? I know. Jesus appeared to the women on the road to Emmaus to Peter, but still the disciples are terrified. They're startled. And what it says is they think they are seeing a ghost. A ghost. Now, in the Greek, the word is pneuma. That's the same word we use for spirit. That's why our old versions, right? Our old versions for talking about the Holy Spirit were the Holy Ghost, right? Because it's the exact same word. You can translate spirit as spirit, or you can translate it as ghost. So you're freaking out because there's a ghost in the room and he's saying, "Peace be with you." I don't know how much peace I've got when the ghost is in the room. Well, let's just think for a moment about ghosts, phantoms, spirits. In every book, in every movie, in every TV show you've ever seen, what do you know about ghosts? Well, I think about this. Ghosts are kind of ephemeral, right? It's hard to picture their vision, their image is shifting, right? You can see through them, they're not solid, right? They're indistinct, they're blurry. And you can't touch them, right? They're not flesh and blood, right? In the movie Ghost, you know, the bad guy tries to punch the ghost and his hand goes right through him, right? You can't touch him. You just will pass right through. They're not flesh and blood. And they don't eat. They don't eat. In Pirates of the Caribbean, right, the skeleton ghosts, they don't eat. The food just goes right through them. So they don't eat. So in this case, Jesus answers all their doubts about, is it a ghost? He answers those questions. He says, look at me. I'm not a shifting phantom. You can see me distinctly. Touch me. I'm made of flesh and bone. I'm not a spirit, a ghost. And he says, by the way, do you have anything to eat? And he gets some food. He has some food, and he eats with them. Now, what is Jesus doing? Psychologically and from a neurological basis, if you have a picture of your good friend or your loved one, if you were to be shown a group of different people, they've done experiments on this, they've put pictures up of many different people. When you see the picture of your friend or your loved one, if they put probes in your brain will light up when you see your friend. Right? Because we have a connection to them. If it's a stranger, it's someone you don't know, your brain won't do anything. It's just a blank slate. And when you touch someone, when you have a kind touch, a clap on the shoulder or a handshake or a hug, it also lights up your brain. There's actually your skin has a special nervous system that activates endorphins in your brain when you have a good, kind, sensitive touch. That's why holding hands with your sweetheart feels so good, right? Because we build that connection. And eating, nothing brings people together more than having a meal together and sharing a wonderful meal. And so Jesus is establishing a connection. And as John says, that which we have known from the beginning, that which our eyes have seen, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. So Jesus is confirming that he is in fact alive and reestablishing that connection with his disciples. But now, let's talk about the elephant in the room, shall we? We speak of the church as being the body of Christ. And if Christ is present in our midst, why can't I see the members of my body the way I want to? Why can't I touch the members of the body the way I would like to? Why can't I eat with them? And the simple answer, of course, is that little COVID thing. Right? That COVID thing going on. Let's unpack it for just a moment. It's complicated for some of you. It's especially complicated for you on the video, and I'll try to address the video more often. I'm looking at these folks and forgetting that you're out there. You aren't really hearing my voice. What you're hearing is a digitized representation of my voice. You aren't really seeing my face. You're seeing a digital representation of my face. You definitely can't touch me. I'm kind of like the phantom, the ghost in the machine, if you will. But believe me, I'm here. I'm here at St. Francis. You're there. We know you're there. So don't get me wrong. Facebook, Zoom, Instagram, whatever, these are gifts of God that we have been enabled to use at this time that has helped us to stay connected. So thank you, Lord, for those things, because they have definitely helped us. But we all know it's not the same as being together, right? Even what we're doing now is not the same as being together. We can't see each other clearly. I'm trying to read your eyes, right? I don't know if you're smiling or frowning at me. It's a little hard right now. So I'm trying to read the eyes. We're all wearing masks that hide our faces. And when I grew up, there were only two reasons to wear a mask. You were either a superhero or a robber. Those are the only people that wore masks, right? I guess doctors and nurses did too, but I didn't associate with any of them. So, and we can't touch each other. We can't shake hands. Oh, maybe we can do a sly elbow bump. We have to wave, bow, or say, live long and prosper, right? That's all we're able to do. And we can't eat together. Now, I'm not sure about broiled fish, but for me, nothing says church like a coffee and a donut, right? Then I start knowing I'm really in church because I got my coffee and my donut. And by now, you're probably saying, wow, Father Jerry, what a Debbie Downer you are today. Good news here. Jesus is alive. Let's rip off the mask. Let's hug. Let's fire up the coffee pot. We'd like to do that. Well, hold on. Let me jump to the next section of our scripture really briefly, and then I'll circle back. In the next few verses, Jesus summarizes the gospel. He says, It has been written that the Messiah must suffer, that the Messiah must die and will rise again on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness will be proclaimed in his name to all the world. That's the summary of the gospel. And he talks about it in terms of the law, that's the Torah, the prophets, the Nevi'im is the Hebrew word, and the Psalmoid, the Psalms, or in some versions, the Ketubim, all the writings. And he opens their minds to understand the scriptures, that he is the Messiah, and all scriptures have been pointing to him. And this has been his mission all along, that to suffer and die, to rise on the third day, and that repentance will be preached to all the world. But the gospel is bigger than that. Here in a few minutes, when we say the creed, that is a summary of the gospel. The gospel includes that, and that's the key points of it. But it also includes all that Jesus taught, all that Jesus proclaimed. And that is the way we are to live. And the mission of the church is to proclaim and live out the gospel and to respond to the good news by repentance, meaning that we're changing direction and doing things different. We are forgiven and enabled to live in a new way. But I want you to notice, it says that the Messiah had to suffer. The disciples too suffered. We read that one of Peter's speeches, one of Peter's sermons this morning. And immediately after this sermon, he's going to be arrested and put in jail. And then he's going to say some more things and he's going to get flogged. And the disciples are going to say, "We rejoice that we were able to suffer for his name." That was on your behalf. They suffered, and you are beneficiaries of their faithfulness. Jesus suffered to accomplish his mission, and you are beneficiaries of that. Paul says, share in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving in the army or air force gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, and I endure everything for the sake of the elect. So we have to wear masks and socially distance and miss our coffee and donuts. Are we really suffering? We're inconvenienced, right? We're inconvenienced, and it is suffering. But listen to this. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Or listen to Jesus. If you would come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. Or you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if that doesn't work, look up there. Love God, love others, and serve the world. Now the disciples didn't immediately run out the door and say, Jesus is alive. We didn't read the last verse, and maybe we should have, of Luke's gospel there. But he says, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Stay in Jerusalem. You know, whenever I would go to a deployment, we'd be resourced. We'd get fed. We'd get clothed. We'd get housed. We have all the resources we need. God provides us with his word to guide us and opens our minds to understand the scriptures. God gives us the Holy Eucharist to strengthen us to live out his way. And we have our brothers and sisters to encourage us, even if it's over the phone, over video, or just a wave across the room. But you know what? Deployments don't last forever. Eventually the defenders go home and they hug their families and they kiss their children, and they're reunited. And this won't last forever either. We're going to see one another without masks. The day will come when we're going to be able to hug and shake hands and clap one another on the shoulder and say, how you doing? And the day is going to come when we're going to be able to have those coffee and donuts. And I hear a lot of other good things at St. Francis. Those days are coming. But for now, we're those defenders manning a post, doing what we need to do because we have a mission. We have a mission that may involve inconvenience, it may involve some hardship, but let us not give up in well-doing. Let us commit ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to follow in his path, because Jesus is alive. A new day is dawning. And let us go forth to proclaim the good news. I offer this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.